now listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. We're going to talk about stuff that's like very, very, very important. As I've said many times on the Paul McGuire Report, as I've said in my books for decades, we don't live in a world where you read about science fiction as some kind of futuristic scenario or futuristic world or futuristic event. That whole concept is gone. It's gone for a number of reasons. One is the infinite personal living God of the universe is the supreme being who lives above and beyond the dimensions of space and time. So the true God, the biblical God, he lives, he exists. He has his throne beyond space and time. So he's not confined in that tiny box of reality that's only perceived through our physical senses that we call space and time. For example, the scientific world went through a revolution over 100 years ago when it began to discover, among other things, quantum physics, the quantum, Tesla with scalar technology or Tesla technology. And in their discoveries, these quantum physicists, they discovered that in reality, there were somewhere between 11 and 13 entirely different dimensions. And many of those dimensions were outside of the realm of the dimensions that existed because we could perceive them with our physical senses. All of Western science was built, and Western science produced a lot of good things and a lot of evil things, but it produced a lot of good things. And Western science was the grid by which so much technology and new scientific developments and mathematical formulas, etc., were built upon. And then you had famous scientists like, Sir John Dee, other famous scientists, the interesting thing about these men is that they were secretly high-level occultists, yet at the same time, they were publicly renowned for being the greatest scientists of the ages. So, for example, Sir Francis Bacon, who was a colleague of Sir John Dee, Sir Francis Bacon was a famous scientist, and the scientific community itself named him the father of modern science and the discoverer of the scientific method. So here you have a guy like Sir Francis Bacon, who is an acclaimed father of modern science. And not only that, he's the actual father of the scientific method. But secretly, he is one of the highest level occultists in the world. I mean, think about this. And there was a bunch of them like that, that they had like a dual personality. They were being worshipped and praised because they were brilliant scientists, and they indeed did discover many scientific principles and technologies. But then when you open a deeper door in the examination of their personalities, you discover that these men, especially Bacon, was also, if not the highest level occultist in the world, one of the top highest level occultists in the world. And in fact, the level of Sir Francis Bacon's occultism promoted him to the head of a extremely powerful secret occult society known as the Rosicrucians. So Bacon was the head of the Rosicrucians. Now, why is that important? It's important because it was the Rosicrucians that gave birth to another global, powerful secret society, and that is the secret society known as the Illuminati. So just taking Bacon's life, he's the father of the scientific method. He's a world-renowned scientist. He's the head of the Rosicrucian movement, the most powerful global occult organization in the world. And the Rosicrucian movement gives birth to the Illuminati, which is now the most powerful occult organization in the world. But don't get hung up on words like the Rosicrucians or the Illuminati, because these people, this high-level globalist elite, high-level Luciferian elite, they don't fixate or they don't camp around one particular word to form their group identity. So even though we talk about the Illuminati, they have long since passed by that limited term, the Illuminati. I am certain that at the highest levels of the occult secret societies, they do not refer to themselves any longer as the Illuminati. They have long since changed the name of their secret occult societies. So that's where we are. And then there's this very important understanding where a global mind shift occurred that radically changed the world. Now, tragically, the overwhelming majority of Christians know almost nothing about what I'm talking about. It's a complete mystery to them. And it is to their shame. It is to their shame. And it's a testimony to the hollowness of their faith and understanding in the Bible that they don't know the story of the Rosicrucians and the Illuminati and the secret societies. Because if you don't have a basic understanding of those things, you are essentially impotent in waging an effective spiritual warfare against the Prince of Darkness and the principalities and powers that are right now battling for the control of planet Earth. At this moment, everything you read about that's going on with the World Economic Forum, with the Great Reset, with the transhumanist movement to create synthetic men and women or artificial men and women, and all the transhumanist agendas, those things are going to radically reshape our world on a level that most people, Christian and non-Christian, have absolutely no comprehension of what a powerful devastation to mankind and the human race the plans of the Great Reset, formerly called the New World Order, will have upon this world. People have no idea. They're completely and utterly clueless. And as such, because they've declined to acquire wisdom, which gives you knowledge, which gives you power, as such, they will be taken into mass captivity. Because these people, these would-be god kings of a futuristic world, they don't possess in their hearts and minds any sense of moral values. They don't possess any sense of a biblical right and wrong. They don't possess any sense of absolutes, again, like right and wrong, that there is an absolute right and an absolute wrong. They're absolutely, no pun intended, they're absolutely hollow inside. They are empty men. And this is why the demons, the principalities and powers, and Satan has the opportunity to use them to give them large sums of money and power and science and technology. The reason Satan and his armies can use these men and women has to do with that biblical principle that Jesus Christ illustrated while he was alive during his earthly ministry. Remember, Jesus Christ is ministering in his time, and he encounters a man who is filled with a large number of demons. So this man is not just possessed by one demon. This man is possessed by what is called a legion of demons, a whole bunch of demons inside one human body. Now, where Jesus was going with this in terms of his teaching and also his actual physical demonstration of his supernatural power and his supernatural ability to cast a demon out of a person or to cast demons out of people, Jesus takes authority over the demons in the man. And as Jesus Christ approaches the man filled with all these demons, the demons within the man start to cry out and scream and shout at Jesus Christ. Why? Why was that happening? Because Jesus Christ was filled with the supernatural power of God, or what is referred to as the virtue of God, or divine virtue. Not virtue in the sense of Jesus Christ was a very high ethical, a very high moral person. Not in that sense. That's a different definition and a different kind of virtue. Somebody's a virtuous person, or that person has virtue, you know, a godly character. That's not what provoked the demons. What provoked the demons was that Jesus Christ was filled with a supernatural and divine energy. And that divine energy is known as the virtue of God, divine virtue. It's the spirit of God. It's the dunamis. It's the dynamite power of God. So as Jesus Christ walks into this environment, what's pouring out of the body of Jesus is this divine energy or divine virtue of God. And the demons that were possessing this man, they became extremely provoked, extremely agitated when they came in contact with the supernatural power of God living and moving through Jesus Christ. And so they began to beg, and they knew what Jesus planned to do to them. He was going to cast the demons out of the man. And the demons begged Jesus not to cast them out of the man and to send them to some cosmic prison. The demons begged Jesus to not cast them out of the man and send the demons into what is referred to as the dry places, the empty places. Now, what were the demons talking about? They were talking about the fact that in the earth realm, in the physical dimension of the earth realm, there are a host of different spiritual environments. Just like we have a physical environment, like it could be a forest or a lake or a desert or a snow-covered mountain. Well, we have various spiritual environments. So just like there are spiritual places in the earth that have certain characteristics, such as a dry and baking hot desert, like if you ever go out to Palm Desert or Palm Springs, you know, it's like an oasis of beauty, but it's basically a burning hot desert. It's a dry place. And so the demons beg Jesus not to cast them out and send them into the dry places. Well, Jesus was the demons were not speaking of a dry place in the sense of Palm Springs or a desert. They were speaking of a dry place in terms of Jesus, don't send us into a spiritually dry place, which is what Jesus would have done, because the demons seek out to live and inhabit the dry places or the spiritually empty places, places that are devoid of the Spirit of God, are the dry places, places that have no living water in them, The people don't have living water, rivers of living water in them. The environment is absent the rivers of living water. And so you could call that place, that kind of place, a dry place. And so when you have a dry place, what you have is a place that is absent of the rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit, which is a type of water. And in that kind of environment, where there's the absence of the rivers of living water and the absence of the presence of God, it's that kind of spiritual environment where evil, horrific evil of all kinds, flourishes. Because in an environment where there are Christians shining the light of Jesus Christ, in an environment where there are people walking with the Lord, reading the Word of God, well, what happens, even if it's just a tiny amount of people, let's say your community or town or neighborhood, even if you are among a minority of people who are truly born-again Christians, what happens is that even though you may represent a physical minority of people, whether you realize it or not, your very being, your very presence in that environment is altering that environment in the invisible realm. You're transforming that environment in the invisible realm. And part of that transformation occurs because of the presence of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about how in the last days, God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. So when you use the term God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh, well, what immediately comes to mind? When you use the word pour, that usually is associated with liquid. You know, you poured someone a drink, you poured somebody a glass of water, or whatever. Pouring is most often a function of releasing liquid into an environment or into a person. And so the outpouring of the Holy Spirit occurs where where the power of Jesus Christ is released. So the demons knew all this, and so they begged Jesus not to send them into the dry places devoid of the Spirit of God, but they asked Jesus to send them, to cast them out of the man, and to send them into a large collection, or what is called a bay of pigs. Now, it's interesting, of all the animal types that the demons could have begged Jesus to send them to, the demons chose pigs as the type of animal that they wanted Jesus to cast them out into. And a pig is a pig. I mean, you know, derogatorily, whether you like bacon or not, a pig is not a high-level animal. The meat of a pig was considered unclean by the Jews for centuries. A pig is a land-walking bottom feeder. It's a low-level animal. And when you call a human being a pig, even today, you pig. It's synonymous with calling somebody a vile, disgusting, subhuman, substandard, monstrous, demonic type of a being. A pig. A pig is rude. It pushes its way into where it doesn't belong, et cetera, et cetera. So Jesus Christ honors the words of the demons, or the request of the demons, and he casts the demons out of the man. But not just one demon, he casts what is referred to as a legion of demons out of the man. And this legion, or large group of demons, is forced out of the man by the power of God, and and they go in to possess the pigs. Now, once the pigs are possessed by these demons, they go crazy, they go berserk, they go psychotic, and in their psychotic nature, all these pigs plunge their bodies into the water and commit collective suicide. They drown themselves. And so then all of a sudden, after the demons come out of the man and go into the Bay of Pigs, The next thing you know is that the pigs go crazy, they go berserk, and then they deliberately kill themselves by drowning themselves in the water. Minutes later, you see the dead bodies of hundreds of pigs floating on the surface of the water, dead and rotting. So there are multiple things to learn about that. One is, in the earth realm that we live in now, there are places that are considered the dry places, and then there's the normal places. When you enter a dry place, that's a place where there's the unusual absence of the Spirit of God, and the when you have the unusual absence of the Spirit of God, you also have the unusual presence and growth and outspreading of evil, demons, the works of Satan, the works of the occult, the works of witchcraft. All of those evil doers, all those practitioners of the occult, along with the evil deeds that they practice, constitute what happens when a dry place is created in the earth. So as you scan planet Earth and you look at planet Earth, not from the perspective of Google Earth Search or GPS global positioning satellite, but you look at the Earth from the perspective of examining the Earth and nations and cities and towns and looking at what they look like in the invisible realm, you see the true nature of certain territories, towns, nations, and cities. And that's why all across the United States and all across the world, there are certain regions, certain towns, certain nations, certain cities that are like giant strongholds welcoming evil and evil forces. And these nations and towns and cities, etc., would characterize the dry places. And you and I don't want to deliberately walk into a dry place unless we've been specifically called to do so by the Spirit of God. Now, Jesus Christ is loaded for bear. He's just not walking around daydreaming. He knows that he's entering a place filled with demons and that there's going to be a supernatural showdown in the invisible realm. And he also knows that the demons fear the dry places. And one thing I've said repeatedly, and I explain it in greater detail in my books, is that when you make allowance for the dry places, evil flourishes, it grows, it spreads. And so the only thing that you can use to contain or restrain or bind up the forces of evil, the forces of the demonic, is you must tap in and use, by faith, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, power from on high. And when you're filled, when you yourself, as a believer, are filled with power from on high, you become like Jesus Christ. You become armed and dangerous to demons in the demonic realm. You walk into a room filled with the power of God, and if there are people in that room who are possessed or demonized, they're going to be agitated by your presence. You don't have to say a word. You don't have to preach at them. You don't have to be rude or anything like that. You can be very quiet, very humble, walk into a room, and if there are people in that room that have given themselves over to Satan or given themselves over to the demonic, either externally in a process called demonization, or totally opening yourself up to the infusion of demons in the sense of demon possession, not externally but internally, and you allow yourself to be demon-possessed, you walk into a room with people that are secretly in that place spiritually, and your very presence, because you're carrying the power of the Holy Spirit, causes an agitation and a disruption. And it's nothing that you're doing physically. It's not a lack of manners or whatever. It's just that the supernatural power of God emanating out of you, it's the dunamis dynamite power of God pouring out of you, it sends out like an electromagnetic frequency, an EMF frequency, except this time it's the EMF frequency of God, and it shakes up the invisible realm of whatever environment you live in. It shakes things up violently because the demons cannot stand to be in the close proximity of a man or woman of God who was genuinely and authentically filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, in my books, I take you through a fast-moving deep dive into this topic and how it applies, for example, to the economic arena or the money arena, like in my book, The Day the Dollar Died, how it applies to the philosophical, spiritual, and supernatural battles of history in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. Or in my book, Are You Ready? I talk about the realignment of the money system, the realignment of North America, South America, and Mexico, and the creation of a three-nation mini-European Union. And many people didn't believe me when I wrote about it in my book, Are You Ready? But in the book, Are You Ready? I have documentation, firsthand documentation of the secret plan to unify Canada, Mexico, and the United States. Now, some people think, well, that didn't happen. Baloney, it didn't happen. What do you think the fact that we have no borders being enforced means? How do you think it is that we are having millions of people illegally come across the borders, and there's movement of money, sex trafficking, drugs, and crime controlled by the cartels? What do you think's really, really behind that? Is it spontaneous or is it organized? Well, I break open the secret in my book, Are You Ready? Also, the secret behind the conflict between the nation of Israel and Gaza and the Palestinian nations. And then in my books, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1, and A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 2, I give you a double header of the history of America and the all-out spiritual battle between the demonic and the angelic in the early foundation of America in 1776. So these books and others, like Conquering the Matrix, which will teach you how you can break free your mind from the matrix, are all powerful supernatural tools that you can employ and use to not only set yourself free, but to set others free. Okay, in a moment, we're going to be back with some very deep and very heavy truth about what's happening technology-wise right now, even as we speak. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Okay, this is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire, and we're going to unlock truth for you today, as we try to do every day, because we're in a war. I don't understand how people don't understand that this present reality that we live in is not some neutral zone sleep state reality. Right now, while you and I speak together, there is an all-out raging war occurring in the United States, throughout Europe, the European Union, throughout the Middle East, on just about every continent on planet Earth. If you were to look into the invisible realm with whatever technology you might have, you would see that in addition to everyday life going on, in addition to everyday acts of physical warfare, you know, jets, nukes, submarines, etc., in addition to those acts of physical warfare, there is a far greater warfare going on, far greater in scope and magnitude and importance and destiny. And that is the great war going on in the invisible realm. Now, I read to you the Apostle Paul, I believe, on yesterday's program. And he talks about this Now, if the Apostle Paul talks about this, let's cut the baloney. I'm really not interested in your opinion, and you shouldn't be interested in my opinion, except to the degree that our opinions happen to be built on the foundation of God's word. To that degree, they have validity. But I can't tell you how many Christian leaders and Bible teachers, etc., I've met that have built their theology, their preaching and teaching, on the mirage of fleeting secular humanistic ideas. And they're missing the whole point. We are in, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, that's an entirely different thing. But what we're in is the greatest battle, and that's the name of one of my books, the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. And that this has been going on a long time, and it's coming to a conclusion. And so the Apostle Paul, in the book of Ephesians, and in many other places in the Bible, we see this in warfare in the invisible realm playing out before us. So, for example, the Apostle Paul summarizes for us the nature of this warfare. In Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." I mean, you can't get clearer than that. We are to be strong in the Lord, not just physically strong, not just mentally strong, not just financially strong. Nothing wrong with any of that. But our primary strength must come from the fact that we are to be strong in the Lord. Now, how many churches do you know, or how many Christians do you know, that take that verse as seriously as it's being uttered to us? Be strong in the Lord. So what does that mean? Well, it tells you what it means in the following, in the second half of the sentence. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not the power of your might or the power of my might or the power of this corporation or that corporation or whatever humanistic idolatrous temple of strength that may be exhibited before us. We are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, if you grab a hold of that, that will unlock, that will give you the master key of truth, which will unlock for you, your family, and everything you face in life. It will unlock for you one of the great secrets of the kingdom of God, which is that if we are to be victorious in the spiritual warfare that we are definitely in, then we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he goes on explaining it. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, when it says put on the whole armor of God, it means literally that. Put on the whole or the entire armor of God. You don't go out to the battlefield wearing a thong. You don't go out into the battlefield wearing your underwear or your boxer shorts or whatever. First of all, it would be laughable. Second of all, you're not armed and dangerous wearing your underwear. And many Christians essentially are attempting to wage a spiritual warfare in the invisible realm wearing not the full armor of God, but just their underwear. And it's not only embarrassing, it's ridiculous. And then they wonder why nobody takes them seriously and why nobody takes their faith seriously. Let me tell you why nobody takes your faith seriously. Let me tell you why. It's very, very simple. Nobody takes you seriously concerning your faith in Jesus Christ and your relationship in Jesus Christ. The reason they don't take you seriously is because you're walking around in your underwear. Now, who is going to take seriously a warrior who's supposed to be wearing the full armor of God if that warrior insists upon walking around in his or her underwear? They're not. They're going to laugh at you and mock at you and ridicule you. That's not playing the game to win. And then Paul sharpens our mind up, tells us to wear the whole armor of God so that you, that's you and me,
may be able to stand, not lay down, not take a nap, not curl up in a fetal position. I mean, I'm not knocking you if you're suffering a momentary trauma, temporary PTSD. I'm not making fun of you for that. Perhaps there's a time when the only thing you can do is crawl up in, or roll up into a ball, like in a fetal position. But sooner or later, with the help of God, sooner or later, God will raise you up from that fetal position. And sooner or later, you will have the power to be able to not curl up into a fetal position, but sooner or later, you will have the power to stand up against the wiles or the strategies of the devil. Why? Because Paul is teaching us, he's giving us a battle manual. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You see, God knew all about physics before modern scientists knew anything about physics, including Sir Francis Bacon. God knew the principles of physics long before science did. Because God says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." So our fight in this great spiritual battle is not existing purely in the material, physical realm world. Our fight is not purely in the physical world. And it's not purely with physical flesh and blood people. It's deeper and more multidimensional than that. Our fight is against an organized hierarchy of a demonic army led by Lucifer. So we're fighting against demonic principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. What do you think is behind all the turmoil, the struggle, the great plans for evil sweeping the planet and sweeping our nation right now? Behind all of those physical manifestation conflicts is the fact that we are all true believers in Jesus Christ, which means the supernatural, legitimate body of Christ. We are engaged in fighting against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, not just your underwear, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So you're supposed to be a warrior. I heard this preacher the other day. I couldn't believe it. What an upside-down, convoluted sermon. It was worse than that because he called himself a prophet. And his prophecy was simply that God was going to raise up more women leaders and more women in the ministry. Within certain parameters, I don't have a problem with that. Within certain parameters. But really, there's a far greater problem than that right now. And that's the problem of all across our society in America, we have the feminization of the male. We have a feminized church and we have a feminized clergy or feminized pastors. Now, I don't mean this in some kind of derogatory, sexist way. I mean this when it comes to the core of what our identities are. So we need men, not men that are warriors in the stereotypical sense, but men that are warriors in the sense that they have backbone. And I'm not suggesting that women can't have backbone. There's plenty of women, you've met them, I've met them, that have a whole lot more backbone than men do. So we take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In a warfare, you need warriors that have bravery, boldness, intelligence, fearlessness, backbone, and all kinds of other mental, psychological, and spiritual assets. That's how you're going to win the war. And then, of course, you win the war by wearing the full armor of God. Now, so the warfare is increasing in intensity. The various powers of the enemy are concurrently increasing with intensity. So what we need is we need a spiritual army that is educated, equipped, and trained for a much higher level of spiritual battle than the level of spiritual battle that currently exists. We need the highest level spiritual warriors. The issue of male and femaleness is secondary. The primary thing is who can do the job. Who is capable of engaging the demons and the principalities and powers, etc., on the battlefield? That's the focal point. Now, we have moved into an age where the ruling powers of darkness that are secretly and in a hidden manner ruling this world, they are using much higher level weapons, much higher level technologies than they have used in decades and centuries past. And as such, they have developed and invented Luciferian technology, Luciferian sciences that give them the ability with their newly developed technology and sciences to wage war against the body of Christ on an entirely higher and different level. And if we're going to win the spiritual war, then we're going to have to step up our game. We're going to have to become educated and knowledgeable about the nature of these supernatural occult weapons and how to defend ourselves from these supernatural and occult weapons, and how to turn it around. Because God isn't leaving his spiritual army on the earth bankrupt of the latest occult and earthly technology. God has technology as well. The technology of God is available to God's people if they choose to use it. And on other programs, I've taught extensively about what the technologies and the sciences of God are and how they must be employed. So the entire world has moved into an entirely different paradigm. And there have been discoveries of entirely brand new sciences and technologies. And one of the primary areas, and I've written about these areas decades ago in my books, and I've continued to write about these new technologies right up to the present moment in my books, like Power from On High and The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. Right now, the rulers, the hidden rulers of the darkness, who operate under the fallen angel Lucifer, are teaching selected men and women, and they're training them, and they're equipping them about how to use highly sophisticated, highly futuristic, highly advanced sciences and technologies that they have constructed to be weaponized. This is not new, by the way. If you think this is a fabrication, you haven't studied your Bible. If you think it's new, you haven't studied your Bible. This goes all the way back to what happened on Mount Hermon and before. On Mount Hermon, when you're flying into Jerusalem, you can see Mount Hermon over to the left. And it's a very high mountain. And when you go back in history, you discover that Mount Hermon, there were a lot of human beings that lived on the top of Mount Hermon, men and women. And 200 fallen angels descended upon Mount Hermon
And the fallen angels that descended on Mount Hermon lusted after women, and they mated with female women, producing a hybrid race, which is an unnatural mixture of human female DNA mixed with the hybrid DNA of fallen angel DNA. So when the fallen angels, or the Enochian angels, because this was written about in the extra book of the Bible called the Book of Enoch, when these Enochian angels mated with human women and they gave birth to a hybrid race of the Nephilim and the Rephaim, which were genetically an illicit mixture between human female DNA and fallen angel DNA. And not only that, they gave to mankind all kinds of advanced knowledge and science and technologies that were very futuristic. They gave mankind futuristic weaponry, scientific weaponry, scientific technology, things like teaching women how to put on their makeup to heighten their attractiveness and to heighten their sexual attractiveness. They taught metalworking and metal sculpture, and they taught the human race how to build advanced technology weapons. And so they taught mankind how to build futuristic weapons of warfare, highly advanced weapons of warfare, including UFO-type flying machines and other technologies. And so this hybrid race began to spread across the world. These Rephaim Nephilim hybrid creatures, they ended up conquering the entire land of Canaan. Canaan was originally created by God for the children of Israel to inhabit and dominate and control. Canaan was a land flowing with milk and honey, and it was supposed to be God's blessing on his children. But the Rephaim and the Nephilim, along with the rebelling children of God, began to worship the false gods of Satan, like Baal and Ashtaroth and Chemosh and other satanic gods, which involved human sacrifice, which involved the blood sacrifice of their little babies. So you had the children of God sacrificing their little babies on the altars of Baal and Ashtaroth and Chemosh, which were the idolatrous gods of the pagan nations. All of the pagan nations were not worshiping the true God, the God of Israel. And all of the pagan nations were in flat-out open rebellion against the true God. And all of the pagan nations were allied with the fallen angel, Rephaim and Nephilim races. So the land of Canaan, which was destined to be a blessing to the children of Israel, the land of Canaan became heavily populated with hundreds of millions of Canaanites that consisted of pagan tribes like the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Gezites, the Canaanites, and all of these tribes. They worshipped the gods, the idols of Satan. And so they were an evil generations and an evil race. And they also worshipped and followed the sciences and the technologies of the fallen angels and the Rephaim and the Nephilim. And there were physical characteristics genetically of this hybrid offspring that were observable. So when God's warriors went into the land of Canaan, like Joshua and Caleb, they were assigned by God with the task of checking out the land of Canaan. And they reported back to God that the land of Canaan is filled with giants, but it's also filled with milk and honey, and it's a desirable land. But prior to Joshua and Caleb spying out the land of Canaan, God sent in 10 other spies first from the children of Israel, and they came back to God, giving God what could be referred to as an evil perception. Remember, perception creates reality. Perception creates reality. That's why perception or vision is everything. And they came back to God, shaking in fear, and they said to God, there's no way we can conquer the land of Canaan, because the land of Canaan is, it's filled with, you know, fruits and honey and milk and stuff like that. But it's also dominated and controlled by the great giants in the land, which were the Nephilim and the Rephaim. And so they told God, we can't do it. We don't have what it takes to conquer the land. And so God considered the report of these cowardly spies. He considered their report an evil report. Now, in contrast, when God sent in Joshua and Caleb to spy out the land, Joshua and Caleb looked upon the giants of the land with their perception, and they perceived that the giants in the land of Canaan actually perceived them, Joshua and Caleb, and the soldiers with Joshua and Caleb. The giants in the land actually perceived Joshua and Caleb and their fellow soldiers. They perceived them as the giants. And in a kind of reverse, the so-called giants in the land then began to perceive themselves as, you know, little tiny, helpless, impotent dwarfs. Perception creates reality. Perception creates reality. So the giants appeared in their own eyes like little dwarfs, and they were filled with terror and fear regarding Joshua and Caleb. And Joshua and Caleb, their perception was supernaturally transformed. They saw the giants as little impotent dwarfs that could easily be conquered. And yet at the same time, their miraculously transformed perception allowed Joshua and Caleb to perceive themselves as giants who were well able to conquer the land, and they perceived the giants as little tiny dwarfs. I mean, there's a massive principle here, and the massive principle underlying this historical record is one which we began the program the last few days with, and that is the fundamental truth that perception or vision creates your reality. Now, I've heard that disparaged so many times from Christians who don't know what they're talking about, and they have a distorted perception that literally warps their capacity to be everything that God created them to be. So Joshua and Caleb begin to fundamentally act upon their perception. They supernaturally see themselves as conquering giants, and at the same time, they see the so-called giants as whimpering, impotent, fearful warriors. And they declare to God this. They say that the land of Canaan is filled with milk and honey, and it's a desirable land. But the land of Canaan is filled with these so-called giants who, in our eyes or in our perception, we perceive as frightened, little, impotent, you know, make-believe warriors. They're scared little warriors. They're helpless. And we can easily overcome them because we believe that it is God Almighty that has indeed created us as the giants and the Canaanite warriors as the little miniature dwarfs. And so we are well able to overcome them and well able to conquer the land of Canaan. And so this brings us to the present moment of now. And in the present moment of now, in America and around the world, we have huge numbers of people who call themselves Christians, yet they walk around in perpetual terror, perpetual fear of an enemy that they falsely perceive as being far more powerful than they are. When in factual reality, the truth is that it is the true children of God, the true children of the true supernatural body of Christ. It is the true children of God who are supernaturally far more powerful than those that worship Satan and Lucifer and the false gods. And so, once the light turns on, once the revelation of the Word of God ignites in your inner man and inner woman, then your perception, in a flash, your perception is radically changed, and you begin to see yourself like a mighty giant, well able to overcome the so-called giants who are in actuality impotent, little, miniature, terrified dwarfs. You see, your perception, your vision, when your vision and your perception is breathed upon by the life of God, the Ruach, it radically transforms you so that you are not who you may have thought you were or who you feared you were. That's not you. That's a delusion of you. That's a corruption of your identity. And as long as you exist mentally and in your thoughts, as long as you exist or occupy a land in your mind, which is equivalent to the corruption of your identity, you will be paralyzed. You will be brought into captivity. You will be enslaved. You will be conquered. And you will lose battle after battle after battle after battle. None of this is the will of God. And theologically divergent streams that actually encourage this individual rebellion from God, in which you begin to see yourself as far lesser than who you really are, abound everywhere. So here in America, we are literally in the greatest battle for mankind in the history of the world. The technology of the enemy and the evil one literally is giant-like. And to the unrenewed mind, to the mind that has not been activated with the software called the mind of Christ, that this potentially could be a terrifying position to be in. But if you allow your mind to be touched by the dunamis dynamite power of the Holy Spirit, your mind and heart, in an explosive flash of light, can be animated, can be illuminated, can be given a powerful revelation from the Word of God, which transforms not only your individual identity, but it radically transforms your corporate identity as a supernatural member of the supernatural body of Christ on the earth. And it is the supernatural body of Christ on the earth that has been given the assignment by Jesus Christ to occupy the land, conquer, subdue, or rule over the land until Jesus Christ returns. And so that's where we are now in this great warfare between time and space. That's where we really are now. And you don't settle for a delusion or an illusion. You don't settle for that. The only thing you'll accept is the truth. Why? Why? Because the only thing you can accept is the truth. Because anything else, if you accept it, if you accept the lie or the delusion or the apostasy, if you accept that, you're going to go into slavery. And that's what's happening right now in America and across the world. Just look at the corruption of the monetary system. It is deliberately being rebooted in what's called the Great Reset. And the new monetary system is literally being embedded
via a microchip microscopic implant that has wireless technology and turns you into literally a human or cyborg human or synthetic human, walking ATM machine or walking electronic banking machine, where through wireless technology, you are connected to a giant super bank known as the One World Economic System. And this super bank is part of the One World Government and the One World Religion. And all of it is wireless. And the race to space is really taking place on Earth as we keep building more and more powerful cell towers that operate on 5G and higher. And the world will, and the world, people's minds and technology will ultimately all be ruled with electromagnetic frequency technology, which was developed and created by the fallen angels to be used by those human beings like the international bankers who are Luciferians. They're using that technology to enslave mankind, to consolidate the wealth of the world through an international banking system. I write all about this in my book, The Day the Dollar Died, and it's happening now. But we are not to perceive all of that as a giant. We're not supposed to be looking at these giant, parentheses, quotations, we're not to be looking at these giant banks, multinational corporations, financial institutions, we're not to be perceiving them as if they were giants. We shouldn't even be calling them giant and then whatever comes after it, giant banks, giant financial institutions. Why? Because they're not giants. They're, in reality, they're imposters. They are the great pretenders. They are the masters at creating illusion and delusion and deception. And so they manipulate reality to hypnotically control the minds of the masses into believing the lie that they are giants, and that they have the power of giants, the power to control, the power to dominate, the power to rule the future. But those are all lies. The truth of the matter, and it's only the truth which sets us free. I wrote that in my book. I have a limited number of copies. I wrote this a number of years ago, a book called Who Will Rule the Future? A Resistance to the New World Order is the name of the book. And I wrote this book, and we still have, I'll create a special deal. We don't have that many copies. This book has a copyright date of 1991. And this book, Who Will Rule the Future? A Resistance to the New World Order, talks about the great spiritual war that we're in for America and the world. And even though it was written in 1991, it's happening right now. It's probably one of the most prophetic books I've ever written. And it contains the master plan. It's not a book that encourages you to be passive and crawl up into a fetal position weeping. The book, Who Will Rule the Future, calls you to, with the subtitle, a resistance to the New World Order. Not a bowing down to the so-called giants. Not a surrender to the New World Order, not allowing yourself to be enslaved by the New World Order. Who will rule the future? The message, the real prophetic message, not a counterfeit prophetic message, the real prophetic message is that God has given his people the power to create a resistance to the New World Order. I'm definitely going to have to put up a special on this. This book, I haven't picked this up and looked at it in a long time. This book, a lot of people are running around calling themselves prophets. That's between them and God. This book is more prophetic than just about any book I've ever written or have read, with the exception, obviously, of the Bible, the Word of God. Who will rule the future? I'll create a special for it. All right, and you'll be able to find out about that
at paulmcguire.us. By the way, if you want to be sure to know what's going on, to be connected, to get access to the videos and everything else, because they are waging an all-out war on our message. You got that right. You need to join our e-blast list. It's a private list. It's not sold. It's not given to anybody. But the only way you can stay connected and not be electronically severed in our communications is to join the e-blast list. And I cannot tell you, don't assume falsely that you have an endless amount of time in which to do that. There are things happening. I can't always tell you about the things that I know that are happening or going to happen in the very near future. I can't always talk about it openly, or I won't be around, and I won't get into that. Don't think it's an I'm not taking out a violin and playing the blues for you and asking you to cry. I am asking you to pray for me in serious intercessory prayer. I'm serious about that. Because we're in a spiritual war, not a picnic. And the more you speak out and the harder truth you speak out about, the more you become targeted on every level. So I need to be able to communicate to you, and you need to be able to receive our communications. We are soon going to expand the content and material and information that we're going to distribute on a mass level. But we cannot just make it available to every, you know, passerby, because they'll abuse it. They'll use it against us. And so the only way we can communicate and not be interfered with is if you join, for example, the e-blast at paulmcguire.us. That e-blast is controlled by the ministry, and nobody can use it for whatever. It's not sold. It's not given away to anybody. It is private, totally restricted information between you and me. And so, again, without getting into specifics, the clock is ticking, and I suggest that you connect permanently with me on that e-blast. We don't give away the information to anybody, period. It's a rule. I never break it. I never have, because it's a matter of integrity. All right, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And we're going to continue on in a moment about this escalating war. Man, this is so, this war is exploding before our eyes. This isn't a game. Your life depends on it. Your future depends on it. When I wrote in my book, Who Will Rule the Future, in 1991, the subtitle, A Resistance to the New World Order, I meant it. Everything I warned about in that book came true. It absolutely came true, because it was the product of decades and decades of research. I wasn't sitting under a lotus tree meditating with a pomegranate in my navel. I don't even think I could fit a pomegranate in my navel. All right, this is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. We'll be back in just a moment. Visit paulmcguire.us. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. So the hidden rulers of darkness that are presently controlling this world to a large degree, they need to, in a peaceful, nonviolent way, they need to feel the heat of the public's displeasure with their coup and their present goal of taking over planet Earth in a dictatorship, and they're in the process of finalizing their digital electronic totalitarian global world state. And this is hard for most people that you talk to grasp, because it's so far beyond their present level of understanding. But we have to try to educate them, and we don't educate them by merely instilling them with fear and panic. But, for example, artificial intelligence systems can now manipulate and control the entire human nervous system. They can control, AI right now can control your actual thoughts, your emotions, your perceptions, your beliefs, and AI can actually control the function and well-being of your internal organs, all your psychological systems and all your biological systems, which basically means artificial intelligence now has the power to totally strip you of all of your fundamental human rights without you even knowing about it. Now, I've known about it for quite some time, and I've talked to you about it for quite some time. I have seen it in operation on television. I was talking to a high-level leader a couple of days ago, and that's all I'll say about him. But he and I had a conversation about the existence and operation of some of these high-level technological AI weapons, because both of us independently happen to observe these AI weapons actually being targeted against major political leaders live on live television and other things. I recognized it immediately. He recognized it immediately. And it was, you know, maybe a month later we happened to talk about it and to discover that we both had the same perception of what we saw. So I'll simplify what we saw. On one of the largest television news programs, this is back a ways, there was a live presidential debate for president. All of a sudden, one of the major candidates for president, his language becomes garbled. His language, it was more than stuttering. It was his language, like, instantly became incoherent. His language was discombobulated. It was bordering on gibberish. And yet, seconds before, he was speaking in a clear, coherent manner. He wasn't drugged. There was nothing, there was no apparent reason for his inability to instantaneously not be able to speak coherently. It was like he was zapped with an invisible electromagnetic ray gun live on national TV. And when the EMF frequencies hit him, he was no longer able to speak in a coherent, clear, lucid manner. And it was so bad that they tried to ignore it, but it was so bad that it destroyed his ability to win the debate and to continue the debate. He had to be quietly ushered off the stage. Now, when I saw this, I knew that what I was watching was the activity of an EMF weapon being aimed at him and a specific electromagnetic frequency, which had been weaponized, had targeted him, and they were releasing from, they could have released the EMF frequency that was weaponized. It could have been somebody's cell phone in the studio where the debate was. It could have been somebody in a parked car or parked van across the street, or it could have come directly from a satellite link. There are potentially numerous pathways that could have been used to zap him with a specific electromagnetic frequency, which caused his language to be garbled and incoherent so that he would lose the debate. so that he would be taken out of the debate. Now, the media, of course, didn't acknowledge it. The media just avoided it. But it was clear to me regarding his behavior, regarding, you know, see, if they drugged him with a pill or something, there would have been slurring beforehand. This was an instantaneous breakdown of his verbal communication skills and abilities, which, by the way, were extremely high, if not normally off the charts. So how does a fast-talking, gifted politician who specializes in speaking and winning people over, how does his ability to linguistically communicate break down in a second, and then his language comes out as garbling, incoherent babble? How does that happen? Well, if you don't know about the technology, you're just reaching for the sky. But if you're aware that this technology works, then you know exactly what caused his language to break down. He was targeted by and hit by and zapped by an EMF electromagnetic frequency weapon. And you can calibrate an EMF weapon, an electromagnetic frequency weapon. You can turn the dial or slide a sliding instrument on a control panel, and you can change the specific numerical frequency of the EMF wave you're firing at somebody. And every calibration, let's say you go from 10 Hz to 10.5 Hz, any change in the calibration numerically changes the impact, changes the effect, changes the behavioral modification which is being done on somebody. Okay, so it could have been the EMF wave generator that was fired at him could have caused his skin to burn, as it does in crowd control situations, and he would have ran and screamed and run out of the room. Well, that's too obvious. So his language and linguistic abilities were totally crippled. That's because the EMF frequency fired at him was at a specific numerical number in terms of the frequency, which when it was aimed at him, that specific mathematical frequency breaks down your linguistic and language communication abilities. It destroys it. Now, it will recover quickly, but while you're under the zapping, while the EMF waves are hitting you, your language will remain garbled. So my friend and I both arrived at the same conclusion, both saw it. There was another event that we both happened to observe. There was a large demonstration in Washington, D.C., and there were thousands and thousands of people demonstrating. And all of a sudden, you could see it. It was like the very invisible atmosphere of the place where countless thousands were demonstrating in Washington, D.C., in front of the Capitol. All of a sudden, all the individuals who were participating in the demonstration started to go, while they were on live TV, they started to go absolutely berserk. They started to be filled with unusual anger, unusual rage, unusual screaming. Oh yeah, they were angry beforehand. They were screaming beforehand, but it was like somebody turned up the dial and the intensity of their anger, their rage, their cursing now entered onto the borderline of the psychotic. And as I observed this, I said, this is not just a mass behavioral change. This is not just a mass behavioral transformation occurring on live TV. What we're watching is that this, from some hidden place, a van, a helicopter, a satellite, another building, who knows, multiple locations, the countless thousands of people who were demonstrating were, without them knowing it, being bombarded with an endless stream of EMF electromagnetic frequency waves that were numerically calibrated to literally take off the lid on their anger, their rage, a kind of psychotic fury, going way beyond the boiling point. I mean, it was like 1 second they were just angry, and the next second they were like in a mass collective psychotic rage. And it was so intense, and it was measurable in the sense that you could have cut the atmosphere with a knife, and that the atmosphere itself, the atmosphere of the collective gathering people itself, moved them into a collective rage, a collective anger, a collective psychosis, which they began to act out live on television as the news cameras reported it. And once again, I happened to talk about this with this friend who's knowledgeable about these kinds of things. And we both agreed that what was stirring up these people in this mass demonstration into a state of collective rage, what was causing the collective rage was they were being bombarded with an electromagnetic frequency weapon that was numerically calibrated to let the rage and anger just explode inside of them. And so the entire atmosphere of the demonstration changed radically as you could see the transformation in their facial countenance, the way they were speaking. It was like they were just like, for no reason, they just went crazy. 1 minute they were semi-normal, and the next minute they were stark raving mad. It was like, you know, you could be around a dog that's normally okay, and the dog wants to eat some of your food, and the dog might be angry at you and bark and growl because it wants some of your food and you're not giving the dog the food. That's one thing. That's one level. But if a dog comes into your presence, especially a strange dog, and that dog is shaking and growling and contorting and doing other things that are way beyond the normal range of behavior for a dog and for a dog you supposedly know, you got to watch out, because you're not dealing with a normal dog that's just mad in the normal range of things. You're dealing with a dog that very possibly has rabies, and that rabies is causing the dog to be momentarily insane or mad or crazy. And in that state, it could bite, it could rip your flesh, it could potentially kill you. So what caused it? It wasn't an emotional trigger. It wasn't because it didn't get the food. What was driving the dog's aberrant behavior was the fact that the dog somehow got that disease, rabies, and was starting to go stark raving mad, and it becomes a real danger. So the critical thing to understand here, and the European Parliament knows what they're talking about on this issue, scientists know what it's talking about in this issue. So let me read this quote. "The scientific evidence proving that at least pulsed microwaves, parentheses, including transmissions of cell phone systems and extra long electromagnetic waves, can be used to control human thoughts, emotions, perceptions, cause pains, etc., at distances that can be found here," and there's a chart. You could be in another city, and they could beam an electromagnetic weaponized frequency wave at you that could cause you to go crazy or could cause you to get cancer. This technology is operational now. It's not coming in the future. It's here now. And artificial intelligence, it's so sophisticated that through the use of this EMF technology, you can cause whole collective segments of any given population in any given nation to artificially cause the people of that nation to like and want to vote for a particular politician. Or through electromagnetic frequencies, you can cause a large percentage of that nation's population to actually hate and not want to vote for a particular population. So this is takeover by electronic stealth. This is a science fiction-like weapon that has the sophisticated ability to change how people will vote and whether they will like or dislike a particular politician. So imagine if Adolf Hitler, the head of the Nazi Party, or Stalin, the head of the Communist Party, had this technology in his possession. They could have taken over a nation without firing a shot. They would have beamed the population with sophisticated electromagnetic frequency weapons. And what these scientists who are doing research on this are telling us, our news media, of course, is saying absolutely nothing, because that's their job. It's to say absolutely nothing. Their job is to placate the mass population with endless, meaningless babbling. But I want to read something to you. I want to read something that you need to understand. And that is, there is now the rise of a new form of totalitarian regime that can be controlled and manipulated, mass manipulation of the human nervous system, which means the mass manipulation of people's individual thoughts, emotions, perceptions, the functioning of their internal organs. And you can even cause people to, quote, mysteriously die from a distance. You kill them with an EMF wave and nobody will know what happened and why. Because it's obvious that only when masses of people's brains are controlled at a distance, the artificial intelligence systems can be used to influence the outcome of elections and voter behavior by actually forming in people's minds political opinions of the voters and imposing their decision to vote for certain parties or persons. So all across the United States, you could wake up one day and some massive number of people, they changed sides on the political party, which candidate they're going to vote for, and it comes out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, there's a sea change in who they're going to vote for. Now, what caused this massive collective change in who the people have decided to vote for? This is a massive collective change in who they're deciding to vote for. What's causing it? It's not advertising. It's not PR. It's not some winning speech. It's not some incredible documentary film or whatever. Their minds and their hearts are being changed by invisible electromagnetic frequency forces that actually totally change the voters' likes and dislikes without them knowing it. Now, here's the big truth. The voters are completely unaware that this is happening to them. The voters are oblivious that they're going through this massive change in their mental state. And there's a scientific reason for it. The input and the programming being carried into the voter through electromagnetic frequencies is beaming the electromagnetic frequency message directly into the subconscious minds of the masses of voters. So an entire script, an entire detailed list of likes or dislikes concerning a particular political candidate is being embedded in the subconscious minds of millions of voters, and those millions of voters have absolutely no idea what's happening to them. And the reason for that is that scientists know that you can program the subconscious mind to believe, to behave, to act in any way you want, and simultaneously the conscious, rational mind will have absolutely no awareness that its ideas, that its beliefs, that its opinions have been artificially created and artificially inputted through some kind of electromagnetic frequency technology. You understand? It's a stealth technology. So you're inputting millions of voters' minds with secret messages of who to vote for, who to like, and who to dislike. And those millions of voters are totally, totally oblivious to the fact that they're being programmed, because the programming is occurring on the subconscious level of the mind which means in their conscious, rational, everyday walking around mind, they have no idea whatsoever that their thoughts, their beliefs, and their opinions have been radically changed, because the change or the radical transformation has occurred on the subconscious, not the conscious level. Now, you see, it's not until we understand that we step up our game. It's not until we understand how to play in this new high technology environment. It's not until we become sophisticated and understand how to fight the great spiritual battle in these sophisticated realms that we have an opportunity of being victorious and winning. If we're going to stay in a dumbed down state, then we're going to be like little kitties in the playpen, open to any kind of secretive electronic manipulation and distortion. And that is what is exactly happening right now in America. If you ask yourself, why the craziness? Why the psychotic behavior? Can't people see? How many times have you asked that question? I've asked that question. Can't they see what they're doing? Can't they see the way they're acting? No, they can't. Because they've been manipulated to see a whole different manufactured and artificial reality that has been programmed into their subconscious minds using highly advanced and weaponized electromagnetic frequency technology. Now, I write about that weaponized technology in my books, A Prophecy of a Future of America, Volume 1 and Volume 2. I write about it in my book, Mass Awakening. I write about it in The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. I write about it in my book, Power from On High, The Day the Dollar Died. And all of these books and others I write about it, I've been writing about it for years, are available to you now at a big financial discount if you go to paulmaguire.us. That's paulmaguire.us. This is Paul Maguire. Visit paulmaguire.us, and we will disclose more to you on tomorrow's edition of the Paul Maguire Report. And remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The greater one, the Holy Spirit, Jesus is Lord, is literally living inside of you. And to the degree that you put your faith and rely on Jesus Christ that is living inside of you, it is to that degree you will be victorious and be an overcomer. Because God did not leave you naked and unequipped for this great last day's battle. God bless you. This is Paul Maguire. Visit paulmaguire.us.